Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The remnants of Tropical Storm Ophelia are moving up the East Coast, bringing heavy rain and the threat of flooding from Washington, D.C. to New York City. NPR's Amy Held reports on what is now a post-tropical cyclone.
Ophelia may have been downgraded with weakened winds, but its bands are still bringing heavy rain along the densely populated I-95 corridor and the threat of flash flooding. Already, streets have flooded from Greenville, North Carolina, to Atlantic City, New Jersey. It made landfall yesterday as a tropical storm near Emerald Isle, North Carolina. It's near hurricane-force winds, knocking out power to tens of thousands of people. Duke Energy spokesman Jeff Brooks says crews have managed to restore most, despite difficult conditions.
A very steady wash, as well as a lot of wind. And that's a combination that brings down trees.
Ophelia is expected to move back out over the Atlantic by tomorrow, as hurricane season is peaking around now with another 2 months to go. Amy Held, NPR News.
President Biden is going after the hardline Republicans who are holding up a spending deal to keep the government operating beyond the September 30th deadline, saying everyone in America could be forced to pay the price of a shutdown.
If the government shuts down, that means members of Congress, members of the U.S. military, are going to have to continue to work and not get paid. A government shutdown could impact everything from food safety to cancer research to Head Start programs for children.
With time running out, the House could start voting on various spending bills on Tuesday, even as allies of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy say a stopgap measure rejected by hardliners will be needed to keep the government open while work continues. There's growing discontent with how primary elections are run in the United States. Many experts say party-based primaries are shutting out independent voters and making political polarization worse. That's why some states are turning to nonpartisan primaries, as NPR's Ashley Lopez reports.
In nonpartisan primaries, candidates of all parties appear on the same ballot, and voters can vote for any candidate regardless of party. Jeremy Gruber is with an advocacy group called Open Primaries. He says states with systems that require voters to be registered with a political party in order to participate are seeing more insular elections.
And are producing candidates that are less and less representative because fewer and fewer people are able to participate in them. And that's throwing the whole system of democracy and elections out of whack.
But he says these issues are common among all partisan primary systems. This is why more states are considering nonpartisan systems, which already exist in five states. There are tentative proposals in South Dakota and Idaho, and Nevada voters will weigh final approval of nonpartisan primary systems next year. Ashley Lopez, NPR News.
And from Washington, you're listening to NPR News. The U.S. ambassador to Canada has confirmed that Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau used information shared from members of the intelligence sharing alliance known as Five Eyes to make public allegations of India's possible involvement in the killing of a Sikh separatist on Canadian soil. The Canadian CTV News Network is to air the full interview with U.S. Envoy David Cohen today. Trudeau's remarks last week prompted an angry reaction from New Delhi, which denies the allegation. Taiwan's defense ministry says it's keeping an eye on Chinese military exercises involving ground troops. The ministry regularly posts updates online about Chinese Air Force and naval activity near Taiwan. But NPR's Sean Ruich reports that it's unusual for it to note the movements of land-based forces.
In a post on X, the Ministry of Defense said it's closely monitoring People's Liberation Army aircraft and ground troops conducting drills in southern Fujian province, about 170 miles off the Taiwan coast. Tensions are high between China and self-governed Taiwan, and Beijing's been stepping up its saber-rattling. One day last week, Taiwan reported over 100 Chinese aircraft crossing into its air defense identification zone, a far higher number than usual. And on Friday, the defense minister said Taiwan was keeping an eye on, quote, abnormal activities by China, including land, air, sea, and amphibious drills. John Ruich, NPR News, Beijing.
Today, a big day for NASA. Scientists waiting for a small capsule to touch down in Utah. It's carrying samples from an asteroid collected about 3 years ago by the OSIRIS-REx robotic spacecraft. Touchdown expected in a few hours at a military facility outside Salt Lake City. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.